This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here as we explore a variety of topics on this program every day. And State Representative Court Boyce joining us from the South Coast. Court, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, KQEN, thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about a number of things. Obviously, it's been a busy week, and in your neck of the woods of particular interest, and we've been following it, is the flat fire burning near Agnes. We have been reporting on that. Talk about your impressions so far.
You know, we're at day 20. They hit the fire very hard at the beginning of a Saturday. So, you know, we're starting to see equipment go out. I've been here every day. I'm in Agnes now. Might get a little background noise, Kyle, but we'll try and keep it to a minimum. We had a little smoke this morning. Not bad. You know, for this fire, basically, the weather conditions, humidity, temperatures have been pretty good. We're still by far the leading fire in Oregon. I just got your DFPA, or Douglas County Forest Protective report. They're very good. Most of the fires, in fact, in our three counties, none in Douglas County, essentially, none in Coos County, and just the big one here in Curry County. But we're at 31,000 acres now. You know, privately, I said at the beginning, we can keep this under 50,000. It will be a miracle. I've got so much fire history as a county commissioner, clear back to the Checo Bar fire, and then as a business person in the 2002 Biscuit Fire, which remains the largest fire, as you are aware, in Oregon history, 500,000 acres.
And it's been interesting to watch over the years. I know that a lot of times, and it depends on the agencies sometimes, some of the lawmakers, probably yourself included, have felt like there have been times when crews have been slow to move or taken a less aggressive approach than you wish they would have.
You know, I couldn't have said it better, and it's been a tremendous source of frustration. We basically threatened, pleaded, challenged the Forest Service of the Checo Bar fire on July 12th. It started on the 12th. On the 14th, we were doing everything we could when it was still a small fire to get it put out, as you know. 5 weeks later, on August 21st, Kyle, it went, and this is no exaggeration, it went 18 miles in less than 40 hours. We could have lost Brookings. So that's the number one threat to Oregon is the tremendous fuel loads we have in our state and the waste of, you know, instead of calling it the let it burn policies, I say let it waste policies. And that's what we're battling at the county commission levels. Tim Freeman has been on this fight for a long time. And Josephine County, she was now state rep, Colleen Roberts. So I do see the ship starting to turn. Am I still on?
Yeah, we've got you.
I'm sorry, I heard a click there. My apologies. I'm trying to be in the best possible cell coverage here. So, yeah, we're getting some, you know, I fought like heck to get the permission to get bulldozers in the wilderness areas, an important tool. You don't save the wilderness by generating 2,000 degrees non-normal or non-natural fires, you know. And so it's just critical that we have that option. And the Forest Service agreed to that. I went to Merkley, Wyden, the governor, Congresswoman Hoyle, and this is going to be a big approach and, again, an option for the state of Oregon. It's a change in course in how we fight fires, how we manage forests, and it is critical to saving our natural resources. And we are really engaged in this and in the long-term fight, Kyle.
For most of us that are in the interior areas of southwestern Oregon and may not be specifically familiar with the topography you're talking about there, for the current fire, the flat fire, how, is that in the same area essentially as this Checo Bar fire?
It's pretty close. That's a good question. It's on the northern tip. The The containment lines that they set up immediately on day one and two protected Agnes. You know, in the Klondike fire 2018, we could have lost Agnes, and I was right in the middle of that one too, there every day back and forth between Gold Beach and Agnes. That burned 172,000, which about a third of that was in Josephine County. But these are reburn areas of the seven major fires that we have had. You know, a catastrophic fire is a category that basically says 100,000 acres or more. And we've had six of those in the last 34 years. And so, yeah, the tragedy, the heartache of fighting the radical environmentalists that, you know, just no recovery, no reforestation, damaging our watersheds, destroying our wildlife. And, of course, the smoke hurts our citizens. And so that's why I say, you know, the major issues in Oregon right now are homeless, crime, and addictions. But the greatest threat we have to public safety and our and potential loss of property is the fires here. So far, this has not been too bad a season. It's early, but I've just seen through the Oregon State Fire Marshal, Oregon Department of Forestry, challenging the U.S. Forest Service. We're making some good headway, but we have a long way to go.
And, of course, the Oregon State Fire Marshal's office yesterday made the decision to pre-position some firefighters over in Central Oregon based on the number of red flag warnings that are going to be in effect this afternoon and tonight and maybe through the weekend as well. And that seemed to be a shift as well in the last couple of years to see ahead, see what might happen, move some crews there. And obviously, there is a cost to that because you're paying for them to be there when they're not essentially needed yet, but once a fire breaks out, they're already in place and you don't have an hours long or days long delay to get them there.
You know, that's a good point too. I see that as an investment. I see that as better planning. There's much more of a team concept between the state and federal now. I mean, we've been, just to be really blunt, we've been poking the U.S. Forest Service in the eye for years on a better way. You know, we have our local logging companies are the best environmentalists you're ever going to find, and they are, you know, seasoned, traditional, cautious firefighters. They don't want to waste one tree. And so, yeah, I give the, I said on the House floor a couple of times that not that the Oregon State Fire Marshal is perfectly ready, but they are as prepared early in the season, especially after the Canadian fires hit. They are as well planned and organized as I've ever seen them. And I just Marshal Mariana Ruiz Temple is just doing a great job, has surrounded herself with very competent people, and leaving the state police and being a separate agency, Kyle, I think was the right move for Oregonians.
Now, aside from dealing with the fires when they happen, the aftermath has also been a controversial issue in terms of cleanup and what you do next.
You know, Southern Oregon, you could certainly use the 2020 Archie Creek fire as an example. We are fighting tooth and nail to get proper burned timber salvage harvest, get through the NEPA process, get through the ESA process, impact statement, excuse me, EIS. And, you know, that's an uphill battle. Again, I saw Freeman work night and day on that, and he got 4% on the Checo Bar fire. No kidding. We got 3% of the marketable timber. And what they do, the radical environmentalists, they run the clock out so the wood is no longer valuable. The timber companies obviously have no business, you know, interest, understandably, in bidding on those forests. So we have got to change that. We're already on this for the Curry Flat fire, my three board of commissioners, and just challenging every way we possibly can to save that timber. When the American taxpayer, especially the Oregonians, understand that on the average, each one of those trees is probably between $1,500 and $2,500 in value, and it sits on the stump, goes to waste instead of coming back for public safety and schools, roads, all the above. And then it's each tree is a stick of dynamite for the next fire. And that's why in Curry County, perfect example, you have, you know, areas that have been burned three times to answer the question you broached there a minute ago.
Well, and on a recent trip over to Central Oregon, as I passed through from Roseburg, going over the pass and through areas I hadn't been in quite a while, frankly, it was so different to go along there and see how different the areas are and be able to kind of guess who owned the section of land that I was passing by based on what had been done after Archie Creek.
You know, we, again, everything is a fight there to have proper forest management, to have good recovery approaches and plans. You know, there's a lot of talk, but we even have a shortage. We still to this day have a shortage of fir seedlings, and that's just inexcusable. We have to reforest. We have to protect our watersheds, our fish, wildlife, and sometimes the best tool is much improved and increased logging. And I'll give you just one example. I served on the ONC board, 18 BLM counties, for, I don't know, 5 years, whatever it was, 6 years. And the growth in those BLM forests that are within our counties grows by 2.2 billion board feet a year. People forget we have the highest quality timber in Oregon, anywhere in the world, and the fastest growing. And so we're able, that 2.2 billion, Kyle, to harvest about 2.8 million board feet, sometimes on a good year, 300 million. So we're logging one-fourth. And it's putting our mill, it's putting tremendous negative pressure on our mills, our employers. And so that's another issue we are doing everything we can to deal with. And, in fact, have won a couple lawsuits through ONC.
All right, back with more in a moment, live from the Agnes Area Court Voice, State Representative. Back in a moment on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. We'll have Umpqua Valley Live at 4. Looking at arts, entertainment, community events. We'll talk about the wrap-up of The Wizard of Oz on stage at Umpqua Community College with Umpqua Actors Community Theater. Also, Joe Ross and Jerry Ashford in studio live playing some music for us this afternoon. That and more on Umpqua Valley Live. And on Inside Douglas County on Monday, it is Purple Heart Day, and we have three Purple Heart recipients that are going to be in studio joining me. Rick Schapiti, Terry Weekly, and Tom North, all recipients of a Purple Heart, and we'll talk to them on Monday's program. Live from Agnes in the area of the Flat Fire, State Representative Court Boyce on with us now. A lot of fire things going on, of course, this time of year, but I know there are other things that you're working on in the legislature. Talk about some of those.
Well, Kyle, thank you for having the update on the Purple Hearts. That is just a tremendous breath of fresh air. Much appreciated. So much going on at the full legislative session. You know, our jobs as rural representatives and senators is to stop bad legislation, to push back on government overreach, both at the state and federal level, and just protect rural interests, especially for us Southern Oregon rural interests. So it pretty intense, pretty, you know, we're in a minority, what we believe. And so we're fighting for a majority. We did increase last year in the House slightly and in the Senate slightly. And so that's our vision, is to for rural Oregon to control government through common sense and, you know, the ability to work with other people around the state. And so there's some legislation that was passed despite our tremendous efforts, floor speeches, walkouts, challenges for common sense, the brutality on our own children. I mean, I don't know how it could possibly be overstated, but the 2002 is probably the biggest. And that's basically transgender surgeries, Kyle, that can be as young as 15 without parental knowledge. And it's just, it's just unimaginable. These people don't drink just Kool-Aid. They drink it from the trough. And that's the battle before us. And so we're right where we need to be. And we're going to overcome this and protect our families, protect our businesses. You know, I'm pretty passionate about everything I'm talking about. So I hope I'm not talking too fast here.
You know, one of the things, of course, you're in the House, but I know over in the Senate, a number of folks had already planned to retire. There's going to be some shifts there, likely some Republicans from the House wanting to go to the Senate. Talk about the effort behind the scenes to recruit new candidates for 2024.
You know, and that's a good question. I work with 11 women and 12 men, 25 in the House, on our minority party. And I just can't say enough good about Osborne, Goodwin, Wallen, Lily Morgan, State Senator Brock Smith. Nobody works harder than him. And by the way, nobody's done more in the last 6 years in the legislature to stop catastrophic fire and get recovery. As far as the long term, who knows what's going to happen in the Senate? There's some of the senators that walked out. Shoot, none of them do we want to lose. They are dedicated. They are honest. They are highly, highly principled, and they need all the support we can get. You know, it's on the House side, we got to run every 2 years. That's a little bit of a distraction and maybe even a little bit of an annoyance, but that's the way the system is set up. And so, personally, I hope to be campaigning all over the state for people that believe what I believe, but believe what most of your viewers believe. I mean, everything they love, you know, we support, and we see our country declining. We see Portland. I don't know if we can save it, Kyle. We have to try. We have to keep approaching them with common sense, logic, and principled approaches to good government.
Talk about over the summer, places folks might see you around the district.
You know, we have a town hall on August 23rd, and that I'm pretty sure that's at the Roseburg City Chamber office. I think that's what Rep. Goodwin has set up. There'll be at least four of us there, including Senator Brock Smith. We're anxious to be available for the people. The fire has me a little bit preoccupied, but I think we're going to be okay. As you said earlier with the Douglas County Fire Protective Report, there are 27 active fires in Oregon right now, and we've lost a total of 48,000 acres. So, yeah, the flat fire, tree flat fire is the biggest. So the fair's coming up next weekend in Douglas County. I'll be there a couple of days. You know, I've got some different meetings that I'm doing. A lot of times it's just I'm – log trucks are going by full. Talk about a great day. I mean, they're back on track, and we just keep giving them encouragement too. Anyway, just around the district. Of course, I've got a Roseburg shirt on right now. I'm pretty proud of that. I'm showing off here, but it's just a real honor and privilege to serve the people of Coos Grande and Douglas counties.
So when you're over at the fair, whichever days you end up there, are you going to be in the booth with Representative Osborne and Senator Brock Smith then?
Yeah, I got to straighten the two of those two out, you know, just to make sure they're well focused. No, I will be spending some time with them, anxious to do that, and very, very thankful they've got a booth there, and they'll answer the tough questions, and they are totally sold out for their districts.
Talk about anything that you're already working on for the next session, the short session.
You know, education is certainly a big one. I want to learn all that I possibly can, Kyle, about voter security, voter integrity, everything that's going on in Oregon and the entire country. I'm not pointing any fingers, but, you know, the OHA just, this is a bill we fought really hard against, basically just registers anybody that gets free health care. And the Oregon taxpayers have to pay for it. And it's just as over the line as far as what is rational and practical and righteous, fair. So I'm going to learn all I can about that. And we need to be more informed in our voting program. We need to be it needs to be easier to vote and harder to cheat. So back to the education, school choice. You see more and more people going to homeschooling. I understand that. I wish it wasn't necessary, but I understand the parents make those tough decisions. And so I want to impact education because our kids are our greatest resource, and that's a big responsibility to leave them a good America.
As we wrap up, do you ever look around and having left a county commissioner job to be a state rep, do you ever question if you made the right decision?
Thank you. You know, on occasion, basically, though, I feel really good about at the county level. Small Curry County, we didn't have staff. I've got staff that are hardworking. They believe they're into public service and sacrificing for that. And so we made a good decision. I made a lot of friends. I have 10 on the Democratic side that I can work with. The other 25, I cannot. You know, I'll be respectful. I'm building relationships with the governor's office because that's what I got to do to give the best option for our citizens to prevail and get good policies, good legislation, good laws.
All right, out of time for now, but checking in live from the fire area in Agnes, State Representative Court Boyce, thanks for being on today.
Thanks a million for having me. Bye now.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.